probably worried at that first slide that said roller coaster or rocking chair. Did that worry some of you? Yes, I'm good. Who prefers roller coasters? Okay, who prefers rocking chairs? I guess what I meant by that was that, Paul and Barnabas, it's a bit of a roller coaster ride, isn't it? It's 1 minute, half the city, most of the city wants to come and hear you, the next minute people are trying to stone you. In fact, the next minute people have stoned you. And sorry about my voice this morning, it's been a bit croaky all week. Can you hear me? Yeah? Not my normal assertive self. Is that okay? Yep. Or they could have stayed in their rocking chairs back home, I guess. Who sent them out? Thank you. Yeah, I heard that voice over there. The Holy Spirit. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit who set apart Paul and Barnabas. And what were they doing in Antioch in the church when that happened? They were involved in a couple of activities. Brian knows. No. Much more dangerous activities than doing sermons. Doesn't it say that prayer and fasting? That's what it said back in chapter 13 anyway. Sorry, worshipping, I beg your pardon. They were probably praying and they're worshipping. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from Barnabas and Saul. So what they were doing was something initiated by God, but with that, obviously with the cooperation and the backing of that group of believers. Can we go to the map? I turned up at work at 9:20 this morning and said, Suzanne, I forgot to ask you to put the map in. So this is the map that Jeff had last week, right? Because they've come from the coast over the right-hand side, Lebanon, Israel, where it is now. Notice there's an Antioch up there. This is Jeff's red dot pointer. Up there, see? Yeah. And they'd come from there, which is Syria and Antioch, and they'd come to Cyprus. They'd gone through there. And then they sailed up there to Perga, and they'd gone up to Antioch in Pisidia, another Antioch. Okay, named after the same emperor guy. And now they're going to places that are further inland and are sort of around this area. Iconium. Did you say Leicester? You did say Lystra, didn't you? You didn't say Leicester and Derby, did you? Okay. Lystra and Derby, around this area. Actually, here's the strange part. They're heading back to a place here called Tarsus. That's significant, isn't it? Okay, but they're heading there, but they don't go there. Instead, they stop at Derby and they go back around this way and back that way. But I want to ask you, when they first started from Antioch to go to Cyprus, why do they go to Cyprus first? Well, because it's near, I guess, and you can sail there on a boat fairly fast and all that. Well, amongst other reasons, it may be that one of the reasons was because that's where Barnabas was from. Because you've been doing all your homework, you've been revising after each week, haven't you? So Acts chapter 4, verse 36, Joseph was his name, not Barnabas. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, Levite, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So this is his home patch. Remember, John Mark, who went with him, was his cousin. So this is sort of like their home. They're going to the place, the natural place, that is right in front of them, where they have connections. So they use the connections they already have. They also are Jews. And Paul and Barnabas are not just Jews. They're incredibly learned men. Because Barnabas, Joseph, is a Levite. So he's trained in all the, temple stuff. Saul, remember, had learned under which teacher? Gamaliel, who's like the ace Jewish teacher of the law. So when they went to the synagogue, they were experts in what happened in a Jewish synagogue. And of course, they were Jews themselves. Both Saul and Paul and Barnabas. So I want you to see two things here. On the one hand, God sends them out. There's prayer and worship and fasting. And miraculous signs accompany them. That can only happen from God. Paul then heals a man, or God heals the man through Paul in today's reading. That's God doing that. You or I can't just do that because we want to. So the power of God and the presence of God and the leading of God is completely central to everything they do. But in terms of where they go first and what they do next, it's very much doing what's in front of them. Does that make sense? And does this make sense in your life? You pray, this is exactly what Andrew's saying, you pray and you worship, and then God gives that to you and it's in front of you, and but you actually do it. You don't sort of go, I will stay in my rocking chair. You embark. You set off. And what happens from there, who knows? Because they preach the message in Iconium, this is in chapter 14, and there was a great response there. And then it says, but the ones who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds. So did it say, so they left because it was getting a bit tough? No, it says, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. But then in verse 8, there was a plot afoot to mistreat them and stone them. Then they left. They didn't just say, oh, well, I guess they were going to kill us. That's fine. We'll just stay here. They actually did leave. But they go on and they keep preaching. There was a plot to stone them in Iconium. When they get to Lystra, something much more serious happens. Paul is stoned to death. So, as I was saying at 8 o'clock, really, the book of Acts, which goes to chapter 28, and has all the amazing journeys of Paul, by all normal standards, by rights, stop in chapter 14, verse 19. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside of the city. They dragged his body out. You know, they stoned people to death as their execution, okay? They had done this before. They knew how to stone someone to death. But I don't know why they got this wrong. Possibly they were so angry and worked up they didn't notice that, you know, I guess when someone's only barely alive, their breathing could be very shallow. There's no indication that he was raised to life, but that they assumed he was dead. And then the believers gather around and they found he wasn't. That's a pretty tough ask when you're going out preaching the gospel. But they do what's in front of them, and they adjust as they go. Now, this is all a lot to do with 5-year plan or 10-year plan or five, you know, that Brian's going to be doing in a couple of weeks. So I'm not trying to ruin that, but I'm just saying that often when you look at that, what you see will be like, oh, wait on, we could do this. In a sense, that's what we're doing tonight at 5 o'clock. We're saying, oh, we've got these people, we could do this. Now, it might turn out that that's the completely wrong thing to do and we haven't been listening to God properly at all. Right? It's possible, isn't it? But you can't, if you think it is, you do have to just do it. Do you see what I mean? They didn't sort of stand into it thinking, oh, I'm not sure, Cyprus, They actually just, in the end, they had to commit to, are we hearing God? Are we sent by the Spirit? Yes, let's go. Let's push the boat out, literally. And they left, not knowing what was going to happen, and prepared for all sorts of things, in fact, to happen. So they used, but they so they used these contexts, the Cyprus context, and now they've got these contexts because every time they turn up a city, they can go to the Jewish synagogue. They're in Asia Minor, Turkey, modern-day Turkey, but the Jews are spread throughout all these regions and have little synagogues, so they can go and they've got a ready-made place to preach. And it's not just the Jews that hear them. There are Greeks, Gentiles, who some of whom are sympathetic to the Jewish law, who hear them, and other Greeks too. And in fact, so where they're speaking to people who know the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, they speak from that. But do you notice when they get to Lystra, they're talking to a bunch of people who are not Jews? Because they heal the man, and what's the response of the people? It's a miracle from God. No, they're a completely different religion, because what's their response? Yeah, it's Zeus, it's Hermes. The gods have come down to us. Now, guess what? They've struck Greeks who worship the Greek gods. You know all the Greek gods from mythology? No, really, it's good, you don't. But, you know, there are lots of them, like Apollo and, you know, and Athene and Zeus and Diana and, yeah, that's right, and Ephesus. Yeah, so there are lots of them anyway. And in their religion, the gods from time to time come down and visit people. So they interpret it from their religion. Now, please notice, they don't say, it says in the Jewish law, you shouldn't worship, you know, you should worship the Lord your God only. Because they don't know that. So what does Paul say to them? He says, friends, why are you doing this? We are telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. Do you notice he uses quite a general description of God? It's not about the Lord who gave the law to Moses, because these people don't know that. But it is true that he made heaven and earth. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. So he's speaking to them, like as in you guys. And then he says, but think about it. You know, God has shown you his goodness by, look down at verse 17, by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. So he's speaking their language. Language like, this is how you would understand God. He made the heavens and the earth. He is good to you by giving you crops and rains. So you see how they adjust as they go. They're always changing. So you don't necessarily bowl up to someone and hit them with Bible verses just because you're sharing the message of Jesus. Does this make sense? Because they may not know the Bible. Or, you know, it just may not connect with them. But other things about God might, or about Jesus might. Even the healing, when Paul heals that man, you notice it's a response. It's not Paul going and saying, right, does anybody want healing this morning in the service? You know, which is like how we might maybe think of a healing meeting, right? Invite a special healing person. How does he heal the man? What happens first? He looks at him, so he's paying attention to the guy. He's not saying, Jesus Christ will, you know, is the healer. And he sees that the man has faith to be healed. And he responds to that willingness and that readiness, that sensitivity to the, I see what God is doing. Then prays for him. I love also the way that their response to that. You know, we're not gods. We're not God. Don't worship us. Like, we have no power of our own. You know, they're beside themselves. Like, but it actually brings up an interesting point, because it's easy to look at it and think, those silly people, worshipping them as if they're gods, they're just people. But don't we tend to do the same thing with powerful preachers or powerful healing ministry people? We set them up a bit as, do you know what I mean? On a pedestal, their ministry. Or look at that church, it's amazing they have that preacher. It's because that pastor or that, you know what I mean? And that is rubbish. If somewhere is powerful because of a person, they're in deep trouble. Because people are fallible. If a place is powerful because of the power of God or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, then there's something to celebrate. then there's something happening. But if not, not really. So just to, it relates to us too. There's another thing here too. They don't just keep going because they think, oh, right, that was good. We'll just, okay, now we've done that, we could just do this. And we'll just keep going. They sort of do. They go Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. If I'd been organized, I would have organized a new map with the extra towns on. But hey, when someone tells you at 9:20 on Sunday morning, you know. But the point is that they go here and they get my finger pointy thing out. I love this. It saves you pressing the wrong button on the red thing. So you go Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, heading towards Tarsus. Oh. Oh, the which one?
Orange.
You mean the yellow one? Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. Tarsus is over here. So they could have just gone, let's keep going. We're on a roll. Hey, I mean, Tarsus, have they got contacts in Tarsus or what? Although Saul's probably preached there already because he was there for a while before they remember Barnabas actually from Antioch went to Tarsus, fetched Saul and brought him back to Antioch to teach there before they left. So, but who knows? The point is that they don't just keep going because they want to or they can. They actually go back. Now, what's the point? You know this mode of ministry where we go, oh, we've had a wonderful meeting here and 50 people believed in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Right. Because that's the whole point, people believing in Jesus. Let's have another one. We'll go to the next town. Oh, another 100 people believe in Jesus. Great. So you just keep going, don't you? No. Because by the time you've gone a month down the road that way, you've got about 5,000 ex-Christians. Right? So what they go is they go back. They backtrack. They don't overreach themselves. Even the superstar apostles don't overreach themselves. That's a good message for us, isn't it? They're not superstars, of course. So, here's the message for us this morning. Because it's... We sort of fairly confident, aren't we, that God's not going to call somewhere where we're going to get stoned to death. Some of you don't look quite so sure. But do you know what I mean? In a sense, Paul and Barnabas' experience is a very one-off thing, although there were other and are still today other believers who are killed for preaching the gospel or even just for being Christians, never mind preaching. But the point is this. What is the small next step that God is speaking to you about? Or if you have no idea or sort of think, or maybe it would be a good thing to ask God. You know, because the reason I mentioned the rocking chair is because it's symbolizes for me, I guess, comfort zone. You know? I do this too. I have a rocking chair. Well, sort of. It's a lazy boy, you know? It's such a horrible name for a chair, isn't it? Lazy boy. You know, stretch out and have a snooze. I'm not saying it's wrong to rest. All I'm saying is this. And I'm not saying that a roller coaster is great either, because if you think about it, a roller coaster just gives you lots of thrills and you come back and you're in the same place. Which is a disturbing illustration of what church can be like when it's very exciting and thrilling. Oh, do you know what I mean? If after all the wonderful experience of the Holy Spirit and so on, we end up back in exactly the same place and we're still doing the same things we were doing and behaving the same way we were behaving, we have learned nothing. We have not grown at all. We actually are missing the point very badly. We should be growing and we should be just gently moving out. So let me explain to you what gently moving out might be. look around you this morning. Now, look around. Okay. Just now, if you're visiting, that possibly was a very not a nice thing to do to you, because people would have gone, oh, never seen them before. Do you get my point? But here's my other point I keep on making to you. There's probably people that you've been going to church with for a year or 2 years and you've never talked to them or don't know their names. It's possible, isn't it? If it wasn't my job to know them, I probably would be the same. Possibly. Do you know what I mean? It's, now, in a sense, that's, in one way that's not important, but in another way it is. Because it's sort of like, that's a really simple, like going out beyond just the people that I like to speak to because they're my friends and I talk to them the rest of the week. But that very simply, that idea goes out to, but what about the rest of the time? Do I just stay in my comfort zone? Do I speak to the people I've always spoken to? Is God telling me to speak to my neighbor? I just mentioned that as a radical thought because the Bible does say, love your neighbor. Quietness. But it's, you know, everyone can do that. Everyone can do that. I've found that if I am speaking to someone, you know, that if I go up, I sometimes, from time to time, I go up the street here and sort of do things. But the point is that I tend to not go up the street and go, knock, 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 hi, I'm Paul, I'm a minister from Brooklyn's Church. I tend to give myself a reason for going there, say, hi, I'm a minister from Brooklyn's Church. We've got a, there's a service this week, and you may not be able to get a car park. This was the commissioning service last year. So here's my number and da-da. So I sort of use that, that's my way of communicating. You might be cutting your neighbor's hedge, I don't know. But the point is that you're reaching out and the point is that you're loving them and that may involve no words about God. But I suspect long term it possibly might. Because in the end, we all want to know what makes someone else tick, especially when they love us, and love us, and love us, and love us. Eventually, the people do. So I'm saying that, you know, that's maybe just your comfort zone. It may be there's something quite specific that God's been telling you a long time. And you sort of think, I'm just waiting for the right circumstances. Can I tell you, I can be just as terrified as you of stepping out and just taking that one first step. And after I've done something that I thought, well, I think God's telling me to do this, afterwards I go, that wasn't that hard. But we're very, you know, so all I'm saying is to have these Paul and Barnabas as role models, not of like, oh, wow, I'm going to be a missionary, you know, traveling around Asia Minor. I mean, try that today, Turkey, right? It's okay. It's, you know, you're going to get arrested pretty fast. But where you are, stepping out, depending on God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us, your encouragement. Thank you for your Spirit who sends us out. Thank you for teaching us to love and love and love you. And then to love others the same way that you do, by the way you loved us, by sending your Son, by actually going out, as it were, beyond his comfort zone of heaven, coming to earth. Help us to have that same willingness. And in the end, to just do it. Amen. You know, Nike says, just do it, don't they? Just do it. See, it's not exactly that, is it? It's not just say, oh, I'm going to do this. I mean, it's prayer and the Holy Spirit before you're just doing the next thing. But the lovely thing is the word Nike is a Greek word, and it means victory. just saying. And I mean, the other thing is, you know, what's the worst that could happen to you if you step out like that? Thank you. Correct answer. As in today's story. But let's take a risk.